much for coming tonight. If you're visiting with us, well, I am too, so don't count what I do against these people that are here. Come back when I'm not here and give them another chance. But I appreciate so much being able to come over here and spend some time with you and to look at some verses in the Bible that may give you some encouragement. I usually, when I have one shot at something, I try to tell something that I think will stick in the minds of people. And I want you to turn to the Sermon on the Mount for a moment or two and to think about where the conclusion of this sermon goes when Jesus is teaching what seems to be a sermon that he must have spoke, by the way I understand the phrases in this sermon, that he must have spoke this on more than one occasion. You see in Luke, the 6th chapter, and in the, I believe it's the 12th, the 11th, and the 12th chapters, you find references to this same sermon. And when you begin to look at it, it's really showing us this kingdom, what it's about. And if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, you notice that I think three times or four times that when he ended his sayings, you can almost outline the Gospel of Matthew by that way. And that's what happens at the end of this sermon. Jesus preaches a sermon and ends the sermon that way and then works some miracles to prove who he was. And so what we see here, when you come down to the 13th verse of the 7th chapter, it seems to me as if the sermon has somewhat come to a close. And Jesus now is bringing about the application of that, or what we should do, by the things that he has said. And this statement is made in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now think about this application of what Jesus has taught, these principles about if you're going to be a part of his kingdom, you've got to look internally first of all and have certain kinds of attitudes about yourself and other things, and then to show how that we're to have influence in the world, to be salt and light. And then he talks about how we would interpret the what Jesus is saying, what they'd heard for so long period of time, but what Jesus wants us to understand about his kingdom. And how that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So we see all these principles laid down. And then Jesus said, now what I want you to know about all these things is what you've got to do. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to realize the way that leads to heaven is a straight and a narrow way. It's confining. And you can't go everywhere you want to go. My grandmother, when I was younger, she'd always tell me, she'd say something, she'd say, make up your mind and don't be a wigwam. Now for years, I didn't know what in the world a wigwam was. I'd said, okay, Grandma. And when I got older, I said, Grandma, what in the world is a wigwam? She said, it's somebody with her wig on one side and her wam on the other, and they won't get off the fence. You need to get off the fence to make up your mind. And so we see here Jesus really telling us, after listening to these principles, let's get off the fence, and let's decide by our attitude where we're going to go, and if we're going to go in the confining and the strict and the narrow way. And so when Jesus says this, notice when you think about this ideal of entering in to the strait, the old translation I've got here has the word spelled as a word of a straitjacket, which means that it's restricted and confining. And so he's telling us to go into this confined way where you can't just be free and do whatever you want. So there are two ways to go. There are two kind of travelers, and there are two destinations in this sermon. And Jesus said, you've got to decide which one you want for yourself. Which way are you going to go? I can tell a lot of stories to illustrate this to you. I took one of my sons to Florida College years ago, and when that big hurricane came across, the one they've been comparing the last one to, when it went across and tore about a mile strip across Florida, we were driving down through Florida and at nighttime, and the interstate was backed up as far as you could see going out of the state. And so I said to my wife, you know, I kind of feel like I'm going the wrong way. And she said, I don't know why it bothers you. You always go against the turn. You know, you always go against the crowd. But you know, what we've got to decide is we can't look at the people around us. We're going to look like fugitives. If we're going toward God and the rest of the world is running away from God, we're going to look like we're going the wrong way. And so we're going to find out if we go that way, we're not going to be on the road that is popular and well crowded in some way. Another illustration that reminded me of this, years ago, I bought a brand new Dodge van in 73 and went down to visit my dad. He was a farmer, and I went down there, and I said, Dad, I got a new van, a cargo van. There's nothing in it but the seats. I'm going to build some seats and all. And he said, well, I'm glad you came and brought that van because I bought two calves, and I couldn't get them home. My truck's broke down. I need to get two calves home from this farm. And I said, Dad, we can't put two calves. And he said, yeah. He said, it'll be fine. They're just about 100 pounds apiece. You can get back there and hold their heads, and I'll drive. He said, well, we won't get on the road. We'll drive through the creek. Nobody will be driving there. You can go slow. No passage. No, nobody passing, blowing the horn. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, that's what we'll do. I said, okay. So we went over there, loaded those two cows, and I got the calves back there, and I got a hold of them. And we started going down in the creek, and there were a lot of sharp rocks and a lot of water holes and trees to go around. And those calves got excited and made everything real slippery in the back. And so we were sliding here and there, going everywhere. And so we got out there, but, you know, we didn't pass anybody. And there was nobody else blowing the horn at us. There was nobody else driving in the creek. We were on a road, on a journey all by ourselves. Sometimes you might feel like, as a Christian, I feel like I'm the only one going this way. Don't let that bother you or disturb you in any kind of way, because Jesus helps us to see when we look at this principle of going the way that leads to life. This is the way, this is the disposition of mind we've got to have if we intend to make that journey. But now notice, when Jesus makes that statement, look at what he does now. He makes some applications. He warns in the 13th or the 15th verse about the danger of letting somebody lead you away. And so that shows us that there's going to be people trying to get us to go off of this way. And I want you to notice, this sermon is really, it's a divisive sermon. It divides the crowd of people into two kinds of attitudes, two kinds of people. And we've got to decide which crowd we're going to be in. You know these false teachers by their fruit, Jesus said. So we've got to be on guard about that. And notice he says in verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. We've already seen, he said, this way, one way leads to destruction. Now here's a road that leads to the end of the road, is they'll be cast into the fire. And then in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now think about Jesus. When these people were hearing this man who was claiming to be the Son of God, the Messiah of the Old Testament, he was saying, do you all understand what's going to happen? He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Think about the claim, how these people are trying to decide whether he was the Son of God, and he makes this gigantic claim that you're going to say to me, who is going to decide who's going to heaven in the judgment day? Jesus said, you're going to say to me. And the issue is going to be, have you done my Father's will? But now, have you ever thought about sometime how we get caught up? We are warned in the 7th chapter, of course, to be careful about hasty and harsh judgment, because we want to judge the motivation of people. We want to judge their heart. And have you ever thought about how wrong we would have been if we would have been in Jesus' shoes? If you had gone in the temple and saw a woman cast two mites into the collection basket, and other people were casting in large sums of money, would you have said, this woman has given more than all the rest because she gave of her living? Would you have made that judgment? I don't think I would have thought that at all. Or maybe you'd been going down a road somewhere and seen this short fella up in a tree, and a tax collector of all things, who you didn't want anything to do with the IRS. And so you saw this guy from the IRS up in a tree, and you looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today salvation has come to your house. Would you have said that to a tax collector up in a tree like that, looking to see, wanting to see Jesus? Would we have made that judgment? Or what about when you see Jesus hanging on the cross, and there's two ignominious pictures of two men who had probably been beaten in the same way, hanging on these crosses, Jesus between the two, and Jesus would, after these men had first of all railed against him and said things against him, he finally would look at one man and say, this day shall you be with me in paradise. Would you have said that? Would you have thought that? Can you see that we have got to be careful about how we become so hasty many times, and we pass judgments on people when we do not have the ability to look into the hearts of people? And so let's let Jesus be the one who's going to decide that. We need to tell people in John 7:24, we're told to judge according to righteous judgment. We need to look at things and make a false teacher. We've got to make judgments about that. So there are judgments that need to be made, but we've got to be on guard not to give hasty and unfair judgment. And I'm afraid sometimes that's where we put our business. We start looking at people's motivations, and we don't know that. But Jesus tells us here in these verses that the claim that he's making is that we are going to say to him in that great day, he's going to be the one that's going to judge. And notice he says, not everyone, and if you've ever studied that phrase, you know what it can literally be rendered as? No, not one. No, not one who says, Lord, Lord. So Jesus is saying, not one person who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus is saying the issue is, what are you doing? Are you doing the Father's will? That's the issue tonight. Am I doing what the Father has commanded and told me to do? Am I listening to my, reading my Bible and doing what it says? Notice Jesus says in verse 22, many will say to me, now think about that. The judgment day, Jesus said, I'm going to be the judge of the world. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Here are people who are going to be shocked in the judgment day. Now, why are they going to be shocked? Because they said, we said in your name, and we did these things in your name. That's what we were saying. But notice Jesus said, I don't know you because you practice iniquity or practice lawlessness. They did things without law. So if we think that we have become the point where, well, we don't have to worry, we don't have to check and examine ourselves, we can just let ourselves go and we're going to be all right. Jesus said there are going to be people in the judgment day who are going to do that. And he says, don't you be shocked, don't you be surprised to find out in the judgment day that I will have to say to you, what could be the most tragic thing in all the world can happen to a person? I've had some real tragedies in my life. I've had some moments when I thought my life was going to come to an end. I thought I was going to lose my freedom and other things that happened to me. But I tell you, the most tragic thing that can ever happen to a person is to stand in the judgment day and for Jesus have to look at me or look at you and say to you or me, depart from me, ye that work iniquity or work lawlessness. You did things that I didn't say. And so even though people profess that they did it in his name, it was not in his name. And so verse 23, Jesus says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Now notice the conclusion now that Jesus brings to this when he says in verse 24, so he says there are going to be people who are claiming they've done the will of the Father, they've done what God wants them to do. But he says now in verse 24, here are people, some people profess, but some people prove to be doing God's will. And he says, here's how we know that. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now notice Jesus said, here's what's going to happen in the judgment day. We're going to find out there are people who, when they hear what God has said, hear the will of the Son, and hear the will of the Father, and they do. So notice that says, first of all, we know that faith comes by hearing. We shouldn't go by how it appears to us. Sometimes we get our perspective into view, and we think, well, this looks good to me, and I think that's okay, and so we can do that. But he said, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to spiritually kind of close that your physical eye and open up your spiritual eye on the side of your head and listen to what God said. That's how you'll see faith comes, by hearing. And so Jesus is warning us here about the danger of thinking because we see something and we think it is good that it might be good. But he says, don't you know that anybody who hears my sayings, first of all, and does them, he's building on a rock. Have you ever been in places or been involved in something that was built, some structure built on that was not on a good foundation? I had a friend years ago, and called me, and he lived in an old farmhouse. He said, hey, Gary, he said, what are you doing? I said, what do you need? He said, I've been wanting to dig under my house and dig me a little basement under here so I can get down here and put my tools down there and do some work. And I said, well, hang on, I'll bring my shovels and we'll go to work. So we went over there, and we dug a stairway down toward the house, and then we got up under the house, started digging that out, and we dug out a place about 12 foot under his house. And he put his toolbox down there, and he just loved it. You know, we put a wood floor down there. He said, boy, this is wonderful. Well, about a month went by. He said, you know something? The only problem is I'm having trouble getting, I got so much stuff, I need it a little bigger. I said, hang on, old buddy. So I went back over my shovel. Well, we made this thing about 12 foot wider. And when we dug out under the house to go under it, we noticed that what they had done to this old farmhouse, they had just stacked rocks on the ground and set that house on those rocks. There was no concrete, no brick, just rocks stacked around the edge of the house. And then the wood set on those rocks, and there weren't any attachments to the rock. And so we just went on down through the side of the house, dug all the way down to the other side of the house. And he was so excited. He just loved it. He thought I was the greatest thing in the world. Well, it went fine for about 2 years. And in Louisville, they had a big rain for about a month. It just rained and rained and rained. And so he called me up, and he said, hey, Gary, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here to ask what you need. He said, get over here quick. I said, what's the matter? He said, bring your jacks and your blocks, and we got to jack my house. What happened? He said, I was sitting in the living room, and I had a glass of tea on the table, and all of a sudden, this screeching noise, and it felt like an earthquake. And he said, I noticed that my tea was sitting crooked in my glass. I said, what in the world? I tried to adjust my table and looked out the window. He said, my house is sinking into the basement. We got to jack it up. Well, you see, people can do, they can have religion, and they can do things, but if they fail, you can't see what's underground. Luke says they dig deep, and lay a foundation. So if we're going to do what God says, let's make sure, good people, we spend the time, which nobody will be able to know but us, digging in and looking deep and making sure that we lay the foundation, because what's going to happen is the storms of time are going to tell on us. It's going to catch up with us. And if we don't find out in time, and the fires of time don't try us, we know one thing, the judgment will try us for sure. And so let's be careful. Let's be on guard to make sure that we don't do something that we can't find founded upon the rock of what God has said and doing it the way he said it. Because the storms will prove that. But now notice, he says in verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority and not as a scribe." Now notice, here's people who hear the word of God. They read the Bible just like you and I do. And you can see the Jewish people. Can you imagine the Jewish people who were reading the Bible every day, going in the Sabbath day, reading the Old Testament law, and Jesus telling the disciples in John, the 26th chapter, verse 1, there's going to come a time when they will kill you and think they're doing God's service. I mean, can you imagine somebody wanting to kill somebody who's doing the will of God, and then they think they are doing the will of God because they killed somebody who was doing God's will? It's frightful to think that religious people who read their Bible all the time and study their Bible could not see the danger they were facing because they were failing to do what God had said. And so here are people who hear it, they listen to it, but they do something different than what God says. They don't do what the Lord says. And so notice what we find in these verses is here's a picture of the sentence that comes on these two. One of them stands the storm. One of them doesn't. And one of them, it says, when this storm came, it says, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it. Think about living your life and thinking you were religious and thinking you were doing it. Can you imagine what's going to happen to people in the judgment day who are not careful about what they do, what they believe, what they teach, and how they do what they're doing? And so this is just a conclusion of the sermon.